Live from the heart of America, I'm Steve Gruber. Ready to deliver an inclusive, diverse discussion on the most important topics of the day, giving you better analysis and insights than anyone else. Shining a spotlight on the cockroaches inside the swamp, delivering truth and justice whenever possible to a place where hope was fading. Here are three big things you need to know right now. Number one, with the threat of an arrest looming, Donald Trump has opened up the biggest lead yet in the field of GOP presidential candidates. Oh, and the arrest has not happened and may not. Number two, could there be a flesh-eating zombie drug on the streets of America? Sure seems that way. And has people on the front lines very concerned? And number three, I will start today with an ominous warning about the COVID pandemic, where it came from, and worse, what might happen the next time a bug like that gets loose on the world. The arguments over the origins of COVID have been at the forefront of many arguments regarding the pandemic. I told you here on this program that COVID was most likely a deadly pathogen that leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I told you that in February of 2020. I also used numbers provided by the Ohio Department of Health, that is, at about the same time in the mathematical explanation of the doubling time of the infections in the nation and the number of cases that were reported in Ohio then and the number of cases that were estimated by the director of that agency to work backwards. And I concluded this virus was on the ground in America before Thanksgiving of 2019. Both of those hypotheses widely panned and attacked in this country. The major news outlets and all the public health organizations attacked openly the idea of a lab leak and instead pushed the idea that the virus jumped naturally to some animals and then to humans, and that it didn't arrive here in America until January of 2020. All of that was wrong. The problem, of course, from the beginning with the wet market theory was that the known carrier for the disease, the intermediate horseshoe bat, lived 900 miles away from Wuhan. No colony was ever known to live any closer. And that meant, quite obviously, it had been brought to town because magic bats didn't fly 900 miles to join the party at the wet market. Now the former director of the CDC is giving more credence to everything I have said then and have repeated ever since. I was shadow banned on Twitter, almost deplatformed on Facebook during the pandemic. And why? Because I applied logic and science to explain what should have been obvious to everyone. The virus was man-made, and it was released from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. But even today, I run the risk of getting canceled because the very powerful globalists do not want to admit any of this. However, with Joe Biden having no choice but to sign a bill declassifying all of the information about the origins of COVID this week, the truth is coming out. Whether Anthony Fauci, George Soros, Bill Gates, the WEF, or the Davos crowd likes it or not, the truth train is rolling into town, and I am the engineer. So, the Chinese Communist Party working hard again to convince the world the COVID-19 pandemic came from a wet market, claiming a connection to raccoon dogs now. Well, former CDC Director Robert Redfield dismissed the entire notion as fanciful and ripped the authors of the study for putting it into questionable pages of The Atlantic, not a scientific journal. Listen to this.
It's also not unusual for animals, you know, to be infected as opposed to being the intermediate reservoir. For example, you may or may not know in the United States, a substantial number of the white-tailed deer are infected with COVID. Dogs can be infected with COVID. Cats can be infected with COVID. Minks can be infected with COVID. So all they did was show that in the same swab, they had nucleic acid from a raccoon dog and nucleic acid from COVID. So the dogs could have been infected. They could not have been infected. They could have just been in the same space where the virus was. The other problem I have with all of this, and I wish these authors, you know, rather than publish in the Atlantic monthly, they'd put their data out into a scientific peer-reviewed journal where it could be critically reviewed.
Well, that would have been nice, but they didn't. Then Redfield once again ripped the NIH and Dr. Fauci for standing by an eroding idea of the pandemic coming from a jump from animals to people. He hammered it. Listen to this.
It was very quick, though, that the NIH took a very aggressive stance, as did many of the scientists, that the only acceptable hypothesis was spillover. And unfortunately, the media went in. I mean, the article that you started out, it's not even a scientific article. It's a comment in Atlantic Monthly and the New York Times, and yet it becomes major news, as if there's a strong bias, in my view, towards trying to promote a spillover hypothesis rather than having what I consider an honest scientific debate, where I've always said, if people prove that I'm wrong, I thank them because then I learn something. If you prove to me that I'm right, I'm not as thankful because you didn't teach me anything. This should be a scientific debate, and it hasn't been. It's been a geopolitical decision for a single narrative, which is unfortunate. And as I said, is antithetical to science.
And Redfield laid the blame right at the feet of American money. Not that we intentionally paid for it, but we did. American money in the pursuit of the gain of function, and then issued an ominous warning about the game that's being played here. Listen.
I don't blame the Chinese lab per se. You know, the reality is the U.S. government funded this work. NIH funded it, USAID funded it, the State Department funded it, and the DOD funded it. So the United States funded the research, and the scientific community, largely in America and Europe, fostered the gain-of-function research, which was the basis for which this virus came. Tony's right that prior to gain-of-function research, the only way new pathogens came in to the human species was spillover. But now, in the presence of gain-of-function research, where you can take a pathogen into a laboratory and change it, then no longer does the species barrier really define the event in humans. It can actually come. And I do believe the next pandemic, and we're going to have another pandemic, and I think it's going to be the great pandemic. I consider COVID a minor pandemic. The great pandemic is going to come, and normally it would come from spillover. It's going to be bird flu that learns how to transmit to humans and then go human to human. But I think the species barriers are very real, but it's much more probable that it will happen because of gain-of-function research in a laboratory and then escape, and then we're going to have a pandemic with flu, which will be much more brutal to the world than COVID was.
Much more brutal than COVID was. Yeah. And so we're going to get to something else after the break here. And that is something else that has just happened, a brand new documentary about the pandemic being released by PBS. And there's some, well, there's some very telling stretches in there. I'm surprised that PBS put this out, but they did. But you listen to what he said there. Tony Fauci is wrong. He won't call Tony Fauci dishonest. I'll do that. Tony Fauci misled the world about masks, about vaccines, about the origin of the virus, about everything. And it's not the first time he misled the world about HIV and some other things as well in his research. You see, I go back to Dwight Eisenhower in his last speech to America as president, January 17, 1961, when he said that money in research would poison the research, paraphrasing, of course. But he said government money would result in government answers. When the government pays for research, they get what they pay for. They get the answers they want. And that's a big part of the problem here as well. We'll have this clip from Tony Fauci on the other side. You don't want to miss this one if you haven't seen it. I'll be right back. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Good to have you here.
Happening right now. Today, more than ever, the world needs safe, secure, sustainable, and affordable sources of energy. That's why Enbridge is advancing new technologies to reduce emissions, like carbon capture and hydrogen power. By putting in the work today, we're bridging to a cleaner energy future. Tomorrow is on. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
We will not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day, or let an ache tell us what we can and cannot do. We will not linger on the sofa, ask somebody else to bring us the mail, or take the parking space closest to the door. But what we will do is take action. We will plan ahead. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. Lace up our sneakers and grab our tennis rackets. We will bowl. We will do our morning laps and bike ride through Saturday afternoon. We will walk our dogs around the block. We will pass up the elevator and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.